passages of scripture that I want to call to your attention. If you can rest on your feet with me as we honor God in the reading of his word. The first is Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23. That will be our support passage, our collateral passage. Our preaching passage is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. When you have it, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us read together. And he what?
Said to them all.
If any man would what? Come after what?
Let him deny.
Deny himself and do what? Pick up his cross daily and do what?
Follow
me. If any man would come after me, he must deny himself and pick up his cross daily and follow me. Now let's go to Matthew chapter number 9. And we're going to look at verses 37 and verse 38. 37 and 38. Matthew 5, verse 37 and 38. When you have it, let me hear you say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you don't, say wait for me. Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Okay. And if you're looking for Matthew, just go back from Luke to Mark, and you'll bump into Matthew. Amen. Amen. Do you have it?
Amen.
Amen. Let's read together. Then what? Said he unto his disciples, the harvest is what?
Truly is plenteous.
Truly plenteous, but what?
The laborers
are few. So what should we do?
Pray
ye the Lord of the what? That he will do what?
Send forth laborers
into his harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray with me. Yahweh, the hour is come again that your son Yeshua, the Word, whom we call Jesus, must be lifted up. For Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, would draw men, all women, all boys and all girls unto me. So lift Yeshua up today again. May Yeshua be seen clearly. May Yeshua be honored, worshiped, and obeyed. And when this experience shall have come to a pause, may Yeshua be honored. Seated in the presence of the Lord. For the time allotted to us this morning to share in the Word of God, I want to call your attention to a topic that I have tagged a divine perspective on the harvest. A divine perspective on the harvest. I believe this message is necessary, Brother Pugh, because we are back in the place of worship. We're coming back together. There are people that are still leery of the Landry, and we understand. But as we gather back together in this place, we need to understand that we have one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to reap the harvest of the Lord. Is anybody listening to me? in some very unique times, beloved. We're living, Sister Pua, in some strange and some very, somebody said exciting. That's right. It is a time, I believe, that parallels Charles Dickens' The Tale of Two Cities, where he says it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the epic of belief. We are living in a time that our Lord himself prophesied about in Matthew chapter number 24, beginning with verse 3, when he said, be careful that in these last days, or in the last days, there will be a lot of fake people. There will be a lot of deception going around. Yeshua said, when the disciples asked him, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming? Jesus said, don't let anyone deceive you, because many will come in my name and say, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. You will hear, Jesus said, of wars. Are we hearing of wars today? You will hear of rumors of wars. There will be unrest here and there and everywhere. Jesus said the hearts of men will be deceitful and ugly and wicked. They will not love one another. They will betray one another. Matter of fact, he said there will be famine in diverse places. There will be pestilences like COVID-19. And there will be a whole lot of problems. And Jesus said, but you need to know that the end is not yet. Oh, wow. Is it not the end yet, Jesus? He says to us in verse 14 of Matthew 24, this gospel, oh, bless his name, of the kingdom must be preached into all the world as a witness. Then shall the end come. In other words, Jesus is saying to us that God is so fair, that God is so righteous, that God's goal and his desire is to save every man and woman who has been born on this planet. God will not let the end come until we have shared the gospel. Is anybody listening to me? And beloved, we are living in this time. This time of deception influx that is aided by this information superhighway called the interweb. You can get on there now. You can say Siri and you can get information at the bat of an eye. You can say Google and all of the different platforms of information that they have, but you got to be careful, Jesus said, because if you don't have the spirit of discernment, I wish somebody would hear me today. If you're not careful, Sister Seals, oh, I like to say it that way. if you're not careful, Sister Seals, you will think you are knowing the truth. Because of all this, you know, I was in a city that I will not call because I don't want my cousin to know I'm talking about him. But we were talking and there was a friendly discussion. And he said, Cousin T-Ron, I've done my research. And I said, where did you do your research? And he said, on the interweb, on the internet. And I said, well, you got to be careful, brother. Because everything you read on the internet is not true. anybody and everybody can put anything on the internet. You need the spirit of discernment. And we're living in that time, beloved, where there are so many spirits going out in the world. We're living in an age where the spirit of deception, the spirit of greed, the spirit of pseudo-spirituality, that means of counterfeit spirituality. We're living in an age where famine and where pestilence and where financial difficulties and job losses is just overwhelming our world, and people are throwing up their hand in surrender saying, what must I do? This is the time that the people of God, the church of the living God, must come together and be able to do what God has called us to do. What do you say? So this morning I want to invite you to take a walk with me through the teachings of our text found in Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse number 37. And there, Elder Prochet, we will find three spiritual insights. How many, everybody?
Three.
Three spiritual insights that gives us, or that give us, the perspective of our Lord on the harvest. Our Lord's perspective on the harvest. And the first spiritual insight that we see in the teachings of our text is a prodigious proclamation. Somebody say a prodigious proclamation. In other words, this is a profound proclamation. I heard you say, Brother Pua, an exciting proclamation. What is this prodigious proclamation, Minister McCarter? The Lord says the harvest is plenty. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. In the midst, Elder Landry, of a pandemic, yeah, where people are dying by the dozens. Have you been listening to the news lately? A few months ago, it was America. Every time we woke up, it was 3,000 plus people dead. We had gone to over 700,000. Now it is India. Yeah. It started in Italy, and then it went on to England and all over Europe, and then it went to Brazil. And I mean, every time you turn around, somebody is next in line. And in the midst of all of this death that has been rained upon our earth because of the pandemic of COVID-19, in the midst of people losing their jobs and their business going underwater, in the midst of families being broken up, and in the midst of the pain and the suffering, Yeshua gives us a prodigious proclamation. He says, Berean, the harvest is plenty. In other words, if there was ever a time that people needed God, the time is now. People are looking every which way. They look to alcohol. Alcohol cannot help them. They've gone to drugs. Drugs cannot help them. Gotten education, and education ain't worth nothing. They got money, but money won't satisfy. They've gone to sex and promiscuity, and that won't help. They have even lost their mind and don't really believe and recognize who they are. Men are thinking they're women, and women are thinking they're men trapped in a woman's body, and all kinds of stuff is going on. And in the midst of this, beloved, Yeshua says, Deacon Laws, the harvest is plenty. You would have thought he would have said there's no harvest, because there's so much going on. People are distracted. distraction and people are being derailed from the purposes of God. You would have thought Jesus would have said, this is a bad time for the harvest. But he says, Brent, you have no excuse. If there was ever the best and the right time to share the gospel, to reap the harvest, that time is now. Turn to your neighbor and say, the harvest is plenteous. Well, I told you I'm not very smart like Elder Landry, so I always ask these crazy questions. Yeshua, I know you do not lie. Everything that you say is true. I know you are never shocked or surprised. You have done an assessment of the harvest. You have investigated the crop. And you have concluded that the harvest is plenty. So then, if the harvest is plenty, here's my question. Why is the church empty?
Wow.
If the harvest is plenty, why are people going to a Christless grave? If the harvest is plenty, Dr. Miller, then why aren't we breaking in the harvest? Well, I'm so glad the second inspiration that we get from the teachings of our text answers that question. He says, but the laborers are few. Oh, have mercy, Jesus. Now watch this. So the prophet said, he didn't say the members are few. I wish somebody was listening to me. He didn't say the pastors are few. He didn't say the conference leaders, the union leaders, the GC leaders. He didn't say they are few. Matter of fact, he didn't say the resources are few. He said the workers, the servants, those who are supposed to bring in the harvest are few. That means, beloved, Jesus is making a clear distinction between membership and servanthood. The church is packed with members, but we have just few disciples. The church is packed with members, but we have just few workers. The church is full of members, but we have just few servants. That's why we're not able to bring in the harvest. Because you see, there is a difference between membership and discipleship.
Oh, come on.
See, membership are those who pay their dues, come to meetings, and are in good and regular standing. I'm going to say that again because somebody missed that. A member is someone who pays their dues and are very proud of it. They come to all of the called meetings and brag how much they are the first to show up and the last to leave. They're in good and regular standing, but that's members. Are you a member this morning? You know what the due is, right? It's called a tithe, an offering, and some of them brag, oh, pastor, you know, since I've been a member, I've been paying 10 plus 10. And I'm not saying to stop doing that. I'm saying that's just membership dues. They show up at church, they show up at the board and the business meeting, and they are always running their mouth talking about what's not happening and what should happen and what couldn't happen. They're members. But workers, Don't brag about how long they've been in the church. Matter of fact, workers don't want to stay too long in the church. They're the ones that are saying, Pastor, when are we going to hit this neighborhood? See, workers do not wait for an assignment. They do not wait to have a title and to have a position in the church. Workers know what the work is. They know that the harvest is plenty and that the Lord is looking for harvesters. So even though they have no title, they have no position, they're always knocking on doors. They're always calling somebody and praying with them. They're always inviting somebody to the worship experience, whether it is on YouTube or on Facebook. They're always telling somebody that Jesus is the answer for the world today. You see, members are concerned about rules and regulations. But workers are concerned about souls being restored. Members are concerned about their own security and safety. But workers are concerned about people coming into the kingdom. It doesn't matter whether it costs them hurt or harm. Members are in the church because they're afraid to go to hell, but workers are in the church because they have a relationship. Jesus, my question to you this morning is, are you a member in good and regular standing, or are you a servant? Are you a worker, or are you a disciple? Jesus said, my problem is not that we don't have members in the church. My problem is I don't have any servants. I don't have any workers. I don't have any disciples, because disciples are disciple makers. Come with me to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 through 20. Here's Jesus not talking to the members. He's talking to the disciples, to the workers, to the servants. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So go. Somebody said go. Not stay in the church and complain and talk about what's not going on at all. Go into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and continue to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And watch this, I am going to be with you. In other words, don't worry about your security. Don't worry about your safety. Don't worry about your own preservation, because I've got your back. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's got your back. Yeshua is looking for disciples, not members. That's why John, in his revelation that was given to him by Yeshua to share with us, says in chapter 7 and verse number 3, heard not the earth nor the seed of the trees, watch this, until we have sealed not the members.
Yes, sir.
But until we have sealed, I'm so glad somebody read their Bible up in here. Until we have sealed the servants of the Lord. Beloved, God is calling us from membership to servanthood. He's calling us to be workers, because the harvest is plenty, but the workers, the laborers, are few. And one thing that we need to know is that the harvest is time sensitive. Turn to your neighbor and say, the harvest is time sensitive. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Weegar? Well, you know, a few years ago when we had another president who put up a wall on the southern border, and he didn't realize that American people don't pick grapes that they don't harvest strawberries. That it is the people from the other side of the border on the south that come in and they pick the grapes and they harvest the strawberries and the vegetables and all of that. And the people, the farmers started to complain. Did you hear that? In the Midwest, where all of the harvest went bad because there were no workers coming in to harvest the crop. The harvest don't wait. Talk about, well, you know, they got a wall up and the people can't come in, so we'll just stay until 4 years when Biden gets in. No, the harvest is time sensitive. The harvest rots. And that is the danger of us allowing the ripe and ready harvest to not be harvested. Do you know how many young black men and young black women and young white men, white women, and Asian women, it doesn't matter, red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in his sight, and they're going to their Christless grave because we are sitting down in the church worried about it. To us today, I like sports. I know I can't watch sports anymore like I used to, but a few years ago, my wife used to throw me out. I'm not talking about her. I'm just talking the truth. Because I make a lot of noise. Especially, oh, bless God, I hope I got my security surround. Especially with the Dallas Cowboys. Security, stand at the door and help me. I mean, who in that country talking about the Dallas Cowboys? But when the Cowboys were playing, just like when the Saints are playing, y'all make all that noise. I make noise too. And you know, one thing I realized, Elder Lawrence, is no game is won in the locker room.
You're right.
They gather, Sister Pugh, in the locker room, and the coach comes and tell them, we're going to play the Philadelphia Eagles. And here are their strategies. They watch the videos, and they see what the quarterback does, and the tight end, and all of these people on their wings, what to do, the defense coordinator. And they strategize, but then they leave the locker room and they go on the gridiron. They go on the turf, and that's where the game is played, and that's where the game is won. That's where the nemesis or the enemies are. They are never in the locker room. The problem with the Church of the Living God is we come in the locker room and we talk about the game. We look at the game. We talk about the enemy, and then we leave the locker room and we go home and sit down and we wonder, why aren't we winning? The church is the locker room. We're not here to play the game. We are here to hear from the coach. We are here to strategize. We are here to find out what our enemies are doing, but then we leave here. Oh, bless his name. And we go out there where the enemy is. We go out where the drunks are. We go out where the murderers are. We go out where the liars are. We go out where the gays and the lesbians and the transvestites are. We go out where the whoremongers are. I wish somebody was listening to me. We go out where the sinners are, because they are the harvest. Is anybody listening to me? But we're so used to the locker room, we have security at the door. Do you know, I don't care what a great Saints fan you are, you will never enter their locker room. You better go on their bleacher page, get your ticket, and sit in there. You can go in there and talk about, I'm a perennial fan of the Saints. I need to come in. Man, they're going to put you out so fast. But see, that's what we do at the church. We stand at the door. You a liar? Oh, you can't come in. We're in the locker room. Adulterer? Oh, no. Baby out of wedlock? Oh, my God. We can't let you in. We smell liquor on your breath? Oh, no. Smoking cigarette? No, no. You're going to putrefy this sanitized locker room. We protect the line instead of going on the field where the game is supposed to be played in the Lord's indictment on the church of the living God this morning is the harvest is plenty. We God, you've got no excuse. Berean, you have no excuse. The harvest is plenty. But because you are more concerned about your title and your position and how long you've been in the church and what pew your family's paid for, you are letting the harvest rot. Then finally, beloved, the third and final insight that we see in the teachings of our text is the proposal for a plenteous and prosperous harvest. Oh, what, everybody? A proposal for a plenteous and prosperous harvest. Here is the proposal. I am so glad that the Lord did not say it. Summons a board meeting and talk about how you're going to reap the harvest. He didn't say, Church of the Living God, call a business meeting and talk about how you're going to reap the harvest. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38, and we will see the proposal for plenteous and prosperous harvest. He says, pray the Lord who owns the harvest. Oh, bless God. I'm so glad the Pastor Calvin Watkins does not own this harvest. I'm so glad that Stephen Brooks does not own this harvest. That T. Ron Wheeler does not own this harvest. I love Elder Watkins and I love Elder Brooks. And when I heard it, I was disturbed. And I was wondering, what are we going to do? This is a great leader that has taken this conference in the last 6 years and done so much. And the Lord says, shut up, man. They don't own the harvest. I own the harvest. Watkins is gone and Brooks is gone. Don't panic. Oh, bless his name. The Lord of the harvest that he will send forth reapers into his harvest. He has given us a proposal for a plenteous and a prosperous harvest thing, and that is to get on our knees. Disciples are supposed to stay on their knees and agonize with the Lord. Lord, we didn't have any baptism in this church last year because of COVID-19, and we are not satisfied because we know that the harvest is plenty. We know that there are many people out there that are groping in the darkness and in the sewage of sin, and they want to be saved. God, give us the courage. God, give us the strength. God, bring another harvest. Lord,
That's what we need to do instead of complaining about what's not happening here, what's not happening there. Weaver is not doing this, and the other Langer is under. Shut up, get on your knees, and call on the one who owns the harvest. Yeah. Yeah. He said, I know the solution to this problem. And that is, if my people, oh, bless his name, who call by my name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, I will hear, oh bless his name. He has promised, beloved, that he will hear us. That's why the old songwriter said, Jesus is on the mean line. Tell him what you want. If you need courage, tell him what you want. If you need strength, tell him what you want. If you need boldness, tell him what you want. You know, a lot of us complain and we make these excuses. Oh, well, Pastor, you know, I'm not a talker. I'm a very shy person. You know, I don't like confronting people. Well, get on your knees then. And ask God, change my personality. Put a pep in my step. Give me a passion for the kingdom and for dying people so that I can become bold in my witness. I can tell it at my school. I can tell it on my job. I can tell it in my neighborhood. I can tell it to my family and my friends. I can tell it wherever I go that Jesus is the answer for the world. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Pray, the Lord of the harvest. Wasn't it Jesus that said some things do not happen except by prayer and fasting? And beloved, as we come back in this church, as God has given us opportunity to come back in this worship center, we cannot make excuses and blame it on COVID. Do you know why we were social distancing and doing these online services? That was the time for you to witness and invite people to hear the word, because they didn't have to leave their house. They didn't have to leave. They didn't have to go take a shower, put on a suit, a dress, or, you know, get in your car and drive to the house of God. No, no, no. All you had to do was just share the YouTube page and encourage them to sign up. Tell them we need you to be a part of our YouTube followers and all of the messages they would have gotten. And by this time, somebody would have been saying, I want to be baptized. What can I do? When are you all getting back in your church? Can you tell the pastor to call me and pray with me? But we missed the opportunity. But I'm so glad today that God is giving us another opportunity. He is saying to us, beloved, the harvest is plenty, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers into his harvest. We need to call on him like them two old ladies in Mississippi. Elder Pro said they were prayer partners, you know, and the other one would call her friend in the morning and they would pray, and the next day they're vice versa. And the one lady would say, God, you said, now you will heal my body. God, you said you will bring my child home from Skid Row. God, you said you will put food in my cupboard. And the other friend on the other line would just say, hold him to it. Hold him to purpose. We've got to hold him to it. It's high time that somebody get on their knees and say, God, you said that the harvest was plenty. God, you said that when we call on you, you will send forth workers. God, there's a lot of mayors up at Berean. Flip the script and turn them into workers. Turn them into servants. Turn them into disciples. God, you said.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord of the harvest will send forth workers. I said, the Lord of the harvest will send forth workers. Three is the church. The Lord of the harvest will send forth workers. You know why? Because living, he loved us. Dying, he saved us. Buried, he carried our sins. Far, far away. Rising, he justified us. Free us forever. One day, one day. Thank you, and we praise you in Yeshua's name.